Tonight we're going to learn the first parak of Shaar Yichud Ve'Emunah, and then we're going to learn why it's important to learn the first parak in Shaar Yichud Ve'Emunah. These will be the copies that we're going to use later on. But right now, here are the svarim. Okay, so it's on page 152. We begin parak Aleph. B'idat Hayom. Torah says, you shall know today, v'ashaveis al levavecha, you shall drive into your heart, return to your heart. Ki Hashem hu ha'elekim. Hashem is the God. Vashemayim imal, in the heavens above. Va'al ha'aretz mitachas, and on the earth below. Ein oid. There is none other than Him. The next six prokim are really going to speak about this pasuk. Now, if you look on top of this, you see in small letters, the Baal Tanya writes, Lahovin ma'at mizeir. I want to understand a little bit. What's written in the Zohar, the Shema Yisrael Yichud Ilah, that the pasuk of Shema Yisrael is the higher unity. It is the lower unity. So, please mute your phones. Okay. So now, v'tzorich lahavin. Asks the Baal Tanya the obvious questions. V'chisale al daitcho sheyesh alikim nishra b'mayim mitachas la'aretz. Would it occur to anybody that there is a God who is somehow submerged in the water beneath earth? Shetzorich lahazir kol kach, that there needs to be such a stern warning? V'hashivoyza l'mavecho. Okay, I can hear that you want to give me, you said it doesn't exist, but it's not like stama warning, but this has got to be like driven home. You know, you really told Stark, what's the Havamina? Hiniksiv.
I don't understand the question.
Why does this require such stress?
What's the God in the water?
Right. He nicks Eve. Behold, it says, the Eilam Hashem, Dvar Chanitzav, Vashemayim, it says in Tehillim. Remember, this is the Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes, where the kapitel is divided up by the Aleph Beis. So the letter Lamed, it says, Lo Eilam Hashem, Dvar Chanitzav, Vashemayim. Forever, Hashem, your words hang in the heavens. Upirish HaBaal Shem Tov Zal, so the Baal Shem Tov explains, Ki dvarcha she'omarta yehi rekia b'seich ha'mayim. The words that the Ribbono Shel Olam said in creation, namely that let there be a heaven, or let there be vegetation, or whatever it's going to be, those Teves va'isiyos elo hen nitzaves va'imdos la'olam b'soich rikia shamayim. Those words continue to stand in the heavens. Okay, b'soich rikia shamayim. Those words continue to stand in the heavens. Umiluvasha is b'toich kol harikim la'olam lehachiyosam, and they continue to stand within all of the heavens to give them their sustenance. Two things he just said. Number one, that they continue to exist. Okay. Number two is that they are miluvish b'toich kol harikim la'olam lehachiyosam. And he brings another raya from another pasuk. Malka, please ask somebody to answer the phones. And the pasuk says, "Udvar dekenu yakum la'olam, udvarav chayim v'kayomim la'ad." And these words continue to exist. So, Aleph is that they continue. Number two is that they are meluvish b'techarikim. What does that mean, the meluvish b'techarikim? Right. Meaning they are, not only do they continue to be reverberated, but they stand and are embodied in the rikim. Lach yesem to sustain them. Kidichsev, and he proves it. Udvar the ken yokum the oilam. Udvar v'chayim v'chayim l'ad. Now he explains the concept. So what did the Baal Shem Tov teach? What's the chiddush here? Ki'ilu hayu ha'is yes mistalkes kirega chas v'sholem. Because if somehow these words would stop existing even for a moment, and these words would somehow return to their source, right? The letters themselves would return to their source. Everything would cease to exist. Not only would they cease to exist now, but they would retroactively, because the words are returning to their source, they never existed. It would be as if it was like it was before these words were ever stated. The same is true of all creations, in all the worlds, above and below. Let's say it would be easy to think this about the heavens because they're like intangible. But even this crude, tangible, hard earth, even rocks and stones that seem to have no life, no life source, nothing moving in them at all, if the letters of the ten utterances were to depart for a moment, those letters with which the world was created in the 6 days of creation, it would go back to nothingness, just as it was before creation. This is what the Arizal is referring to when he says, "Shigam b'doyim mamish," that even in inanimate objects, like rocks, like dirt, umayim, and water, Yesh ben b'chinis nefesh, there is some type of soul, v'chios ruchnias, and a spiritual life force, dehainu, that is to say, b'chinis islapshus, what that chios is. So now he's defining the Arizal's words. What is this life source that the Arizal speaks of that continues to give life? So he explains what the Arizal is talking about is what he is referring to is that is the embodiment and clothing of the letters of the speech who continue to give life and to bring into existence at this moment the inanimate, lios yesh me'ayin v'efes, to right now become something out of nothing.
It's ongoing.
The same as shelifnei sheshes imei bereshis. Just like we all understand that before the 6 days of creation, there was nothing, and at some point the Ribbono shel Olam brought it into making it to something. The same exact thing goes on at each and every moment. Nothing exists, and the Ribbono shel Olam is creating it into something. Now he asks the obvious question. Nowhere in the ten utterances of creation does Hashem ever mention stones. Or for that matter, nor does he mention hippopotamuses. So, how do you have the different bruyim? How do you have all the different creatures? If you're insisting that everything was created with the Asar Mamores, how do you have all the different types and species of creations if everything was only created with those 10 statements? Actually, it was Geshem Evan, even though the name rock or stone was not mentioned by Asar Mamores Shabbatayra, was not mentioned the 10 statements of the Torah, Afal Pikein, nonetheless, Nimshech Chius Le'Evan, the life source is brought into the stone, Ayde tzirufim through combinations v'chilufayosis and improvising, transmogrifying of letters, hamizgalgalois, these various forms of whether it's adbash, there's gematria, there is the letters that are mischalfa, is the aleph and the ayin and the ches and the chaf and all those different types of things. You know how many different ways there are to combine letters? There are resh, lamed, aleph, sha'arim, panim, v'acha. There are 231 methods of combining letters backwards and forwards. As is written in the Sefer Yetzira. And if you know how to read, then you could read the 10 statements of creation and see every single one of the bruim in those 10 statements of creation. Until through the various forms. Now, one of the things that he's telling us here is a very fascinating thing. And that is like this. That when you have a straight mimer, the straight mimer is very, very powerful. Very potent in its kedusha. And as a result, it's very hard for that kind of potent mimer and kedusha to create a davar gashmi. Whereas utilizing these other methods of combinations of letters and gematrias and so on, that allows for a filtering system to take place that allows for this Seder Hishtalshalus, this chain reaction, and the lessening of the sparks of Kedusha, which allow more Gashmiistic things to come into being. So the more the closer things are, the more explicit things are in the Asar Mamares, to that degree do they have more Kedusha? To the degree where there is more chains in it, to that degree is there less Kedusha, less obvious Kedusha, right? So that the more, the closer it is, the more direct it is. This is the concept you find this from, of an Aryosha and an Archaizer. You have a straight light and then one which is bounced around. It depends how many processes the letters have gone through to allow it to come into being.
How does that apply to things that we make, like paper, for instance, that was paper created?
All those things are in their source, meaning we can't create anything.
Right.
Right? We can only take things and form them. So a human being has never created anything. Okay, says v'nimshach mehem, from these reish lamed aleph tzirufim, is drawn from them tziruf shem even, the combination of the name stone. V'hu chiyusai shel ha'even, it is the life source of the stone. V'chein kol ha'nivrim, unplug, just unplug. Don't do that.
The receiver end.
There we go. Now, v'chein b'chol ha'nivroim sheboilom. Okay. So now, let's go back to, you remember that before the Rebbeinu Shlom creates Chava, he takes Adam Rishon and parades all of the animals in front. The Torah says that everything that Adam called them, Hushamai, that's its name. And the Medrash talks about the tremendous Chachma of Adam Rishon, right? Hashem brings by the hippopotamus and says to him, okay, Adam, what's that? And he says, it's a hippopotamus. The hippopotamus, all right. Where's the Chachmah? So, how do you understand this? So, the Svarim point out that the names that we really have for all the creations are really the result of Shalom Bayis. What do you mean? Because if our wife would send us to the store to buy eggs, and we came back with peanut butter, we would all be in serious trouble. Right? So what do? So all of humanity gets together and says, look, we need to fix this Shalom Bayis issue. So what we're going to do is we're going to call those round things that come out of chickens, we're going to call them eggs. Right? But the name egg has nothing at all to do with the atzmius of the Zach. It has nothing to do with the essence of it. But when Adam Arishan, when the Rebbeinu Shlom showed Adam Arishan a cow, and he said it's a parah, there was tremendous chachma in it. Because the Isis Peresh Hay were the Isis with which that animal was created through this process. So there was tremendous chachma in the fact that Adam Rishon, by understanding the nature of the animal, was able to understand the Isis and the purpose and so on. So that had a tremendous wisdom to it. Okay?
So he was able to see it.
It was a Shema Etzem. He was able to understand. Right. And Adam Rishon was able to be Mechaven through understanding the function. This farm we talk about, why is a parah called a parah? Because unlike a chazer, that you don't benefit from it until after it's dead. A parah gives life while it's alive. It gives milk. And it works and so on. So there's a Shema Etzem, there's a name that's made up because those are the Isis with which it was created, and since those are the Isis, that's its function. They give many such examples, of course, I don't remember any. But that's the Masha Enkein. The other name is called the Shem Muskam. It's an agreement name, it's a Shalom Bayis name. It's right. It's made by popular vote. Now, so that's what he says here, starting on the second line. Huh?
Not the name.
That's why a person's called a chazer, when he acts like a chazer.
I mean, that's also what that thing... It's also
true. Right. Right. But it's a borrowed term, because somebody who acts like that, it's called a chazer. You know the famous story with Meir Shapiro, who was once fundraising for the yeshiva. So he came to a gvir, and the gvir said to him, "I'm going to put you in my will." So Meir Shapiro had it with the guy and said to him, "You know, tell me, why is it that the cow has such a great reputation and the chazer has such an awful reputation? There's wonderful things. People get meat from chazer that has wonderful skin. They make out of it footballs. And then there's brushes that people make out of the bristles. It's a very... Why does it have such a bad reputation?" So Meir Shapiro said to him, "Because the chazer, ultimately, you don't get anything out of the chazer until after it's dead. The chazer puts you in his will. And the parah gives while it's alive."
Did the guy give him any money?
I don't think he gave him any money, but the story was worth it. So, line two. V'chein kol nivroim shebo'elam, the same is true of all creations in the world. Hashem shenikraim be'evel ha'shdakai. There's the names that are referred to in the Holy Tongue. Hein, Oisius Adibra. Those names are the very letters of which I'm Shtalshtes, the Madega, that went from step to step, Me'asarim HaMaris, from the 10 utterances of creation, Shevetayra, Ayyidei Chilufim, Utmurais Oisius, through switching and exchanging of letters, B'reish Lamed Alev Sharim, with the 231 gates, Atramagias, and Mislavshis, Ba'isin Nivra, Lach Yosai, until they reach that particular creation to give it its life source. The Visha Ein Prati and Ivraim Yechaylam, the Kabal Chiyusam, Me'asarim Amaris Atzmam Shevetayra, because the vast majority of the creations cannot receive their chius from the direct statements of the Torah. Why not? Shachius hanimshach mehem atzman godol mioid mibchines hanivroim pratim, because the bounty, the sheer power of the kedusha of the chius that comes directly from those statements is greater than any of those individual creations can tolerate. And koyach bev the kabbalah chius el hayadei shiyared achius umishtal shal, only by the fact that chius goes down mimadrega the madrega pchusa b'mena to a lower level al yadei chilufim utmurais, by through switching and exchanging the letters v'gematriyos and numerical values shem cheshben oisius, which is the numerical value of the letters. Until it can be constricted and to be embodied and enclosed, to create the particular giraffe and the pear and so on. That becomes the name that it is called in Lashon HaKodesh. Who kli, that name is the vessel, l'chius Hamitzumtzum ba'isius shem zeh, to the life source that's contained in this name, shenishtal shol me'asarim amar shebetorah, which in turn is a byproduct of the 10 statements of the Torah. Sheyesh bem koyach v'chiyus livro yesh miyayin. Only those 10 statements have the power to create something out of nothing. Ulach yoysen li'oylam. And to continue to sustain it forever. De'arayis v'kutsha b'richa kulachad. Because Torah and Hashem Yisbarach are all one. And the next paragraph, in the next chapter, he will continue to explain this concept. But I just wanted to share with you several passages that show how fundamental this issue is to the Amunah of Klal Yisrael. So there should be four sides here. This is one set of four, and the rest of these are sets of two. So it's a Dibur Chaim in this week's parasha. How Bashert is that?
Bashert as they come.
That's it. All right. So the Dibur Chaim in this week's parasha talks about Daf Pei Zayin. Parashas Yisrael. Take a look at the left-hand column, second paragraph from the bottom. Hanirali. Question he's asking is the famous question that the Rishonim ask: why does Hashem begin the Ten Commandments with "I am Hashem, your God who took you out of Egypt"? It would have been far more impressive had he said "I am Hashem, your God who created heaven and earth." Right? Hanirali. So what occurs to me, says the Divrei Chaim, Dina Yidua, everybody knows, the Ikar Amuna, the main Amuna, meaning the main place where one requires Amuna, is the Ein Ba'olam, there's nothing in the world, Rak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Levad, all there is God. Umi Bal Adoi, and other than him, Ein Oy, there's nothing else. Ba'akoyel Ayin Negdoi, and everything is nothing in his presence. Ba'lei Sasar, Ponui Mine, there is no place void of his presence. Presence. Just like everything was before creation, it's the same. Nothing has changed. All there is a projection from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing can push him around. Like we say in the Shir Yichud Yom Kippur night, and we also believe that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world, he created for the sake of Klal Yisrael, who is called Bereishis. That's why it is Bereishis. Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis. Rashi quotes it for the purpose of Klal Yisrael. And in turn, Klal Yisrael was created to honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gemara Shiksev Yisrael Asher Becho Espoer Klal Yisrael, it is with you that I pride myself. Chol Advarim. Aye, what about all the things, Asher Afilu L'Fianira, even according to the way they look, Hema Mehanegdias L'Kedusha, they seem to oppose the Koyches HaKedusha. What about them? Bishlam, you want to say everything was created for God's sake? Okay, but what about the things that actively are opposing God? There is no place that is void of sparks of holiness. Peches. Kitachlis kol maise bereishis shiyeh b'chira chavshis. There needs to be an opposing side, because otherwise there cannot be free choice. V'adam Yisrael shiyizke b'mitzvahs. A person, a Jew, who wants to merit mitzvahs, v'lo yavra l'averichas v'sholom, and instead he's tempted, right? A person has a temptation. That temptation is presented by, sponsored by the dark side, right? So, right, they have a Super Bowl commercial, sponsored by the dark side. But when the person avoids that, and doesn't fall for the temptation, what ends up happening is Maila Nitzaitzis Asher Betecha Sitracha V'yisnagdus V'yivulara. That's how you elevate the sparks of Kedusha that are contained in the powers of evil. Everybody always asks that. Oh, Bishlam, you could say you could elevate the sparks that are in Kedusha because you can use them. But how do you elevate the sparks that are in Dvarim Tameim. And that's why you should always shop in a store that has both kosher and not kosher. Borough Park groceries are not the ideal. Because you need to have the temptation. Chas v'shalom, you're not allowed to put yourself in a situation of temptation. But when there's choices, right? And by the way, he says this takes place on all three levels, both in space, in time, and in nefesh. In all three, the Rebbeinu Shlaim created good and its opposite. Why? In order that there be free choice. So you can give the reward to the right. That was who sustained the world. What are the next words? Right? That who sustained a world that was created with the 10 utterances. Now, when we will rectify the whole world, when that will take place, azai, then we will have finished off ruach atuma yivor minaret. We will banish the forces of evil from the world. And everything in the world will come to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu evtiach lano, Hashem promised us shesoif yehei, that at the end it will be shisrael yasu tshuva. Every Jew will do tshuva. And when that happens, the entire world will come to the Tikkun HaShalem. Here we go. Look at these words. This is the main function of Amuna. It's not only to believe that God created, past tense, the world. Rather, that He, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is creating, present tense, everything, but they have sick non-stop. Were it not for God's creating right now, Shemahava Olam, that He is bringing the world into existence, the world would be transformed into total nothingness. Next paragraph. For this reason, Hashem does not say, I am Hashem who created heaven and earth, because that would only suggest that He created it and let it go. Rather, Hashem says, I am Hashem your God who took you out of Egypt. Even when you were in the lowest place in the world, Gam Sham Haya Imanu Begalus, He was there in Galus with us. Like He said, I am going down with you into Egypt. He called Inyan Galus, I said the Taken, Chedoyas, Hakadmin Kiyadua. The Galus was to rectify the sins of the earlier generations. Ubikula Mayunitsites and Agdashim, and in all of them there were sparks of Kedusha. And the entire service in Egypt was the second Akdusha, was all to be able to rectify, to elevate those sparks. The went down with us into Egypt. Okay, so here you see, the Vichaim tells us the main function of Amuna is Perek Aleph of Shari Yichid Amuna. Creation was not a one-time feat, but an ongoing creation. Now take a look at the next, it says, Divrei Chaim on top, boy. So in the right-hand column here, he quotes a letter. It's not in the Sefer HaTanya. This is another letter that the Baal Tanya writes, which is very surprising. That the many in the Chabad movement try saying that the Baal Shem HaKadosh was a novel, was coming up with all kinds of chidushim. Baal Tanya here explicitly writes, he's trying to defend himself. This is in his imprisonment in St. Petersburg. Take a look at the last three lines in the right-hand column on page Yud Zayin. Ve'ayin ba'ayin yiru. They will see from my speaking. She'ein kol chodesh tachas ha'shemesh. That there is nothing new that I am going to reveal here. Ve'ein lanu Torah chadosh achas v'shalom. I'm not presenting to anyone a new Torah. Rak ha'koyl kasha le'koyl nim tzakosu b'sefer. Asher kvar osug de'arishoinim ad kan l'shoini ha'kodesh. The Baal Tanya says, everything Chassidus taught has already been presented in earlier works. So let's see where this concept that he quotes here from the Baal Shem HaKodesh is in earlier works. Okay? So first of all, there's a medrash on this pasuk, Lo'ilam Hashem Duach HaNitzav HaShemayim. There's a medrash of an art that says virtually the same thing. Now let's see here. V'achein inyan aniska de'el shakadosh baruch hu b'iris aylam mechadosh b'chalei sezman. This concept that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is creating his world anew all the time. The Radak and the Prophet Yeshaya Laposuk Af Yodi Yostaret Viamini Tavcha Shemaim Koirani Aleim Yamdu Yacht. The Posuk says, I, Hashem, established the earth. My right hand shmears over, or there's creating the Tafeach, heaven. I call to them and they stand together. Says the Radak. He brings several interpretations. Here's the Lashon of the Radak. The correct pshat in this pasuk is Shepirusha came. Ani asisim, I created all of creation, b'tchilas b'riyosim, at the beginning of their creation. V'chol yimei oylam, hem oymdim yachtov b'koychi, and they continue to exist with my koyach. Upirish koyrani alem. What does these words mean that the pasuk says, I call out to them? Says the Radak. Shani mashpia alem koychi b'choleis. I continue to give them the koyach. Ubo yamdu atchonosa. But with that koyach, they continue to exist. Ukiilu. It's as if ani koyrulem, I am calling out to them, shiyamdu, that they should stand up, ve'oim them, and they stand. Okay, that's a Radak. Chay Kosev HaSifarno, Reish Parshas Ve'eru, the Sifarno writes on the Pasuk, we read 2 weeks ago, V'yema Elav Ani Hashem, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I am Hashem. Says, the Sifarno Ani Hashem, Mikayim HaMetzius, I am Hashem, who sustains all existence. I didn't just bring it into existence. I continue to sustain it. Because nothing that exists has any endurance. Were it not for the fact that I am giving it its chius. And says Kaamra, like the Pasuk says, V'ate mechai, yes, kulam. You give life to everything. U'mezei yischayev, from this comes, logically, she'en l'shum nimtza kiyum mitzius bilti ritzayni, that nothing can exist if I'm not sustaining it, if I'm not wanting it to exist. Harei, she'dov ezei gilak at the shmach l'fnei Moshe Rabbeinu be'ez, b'ay l'fnei Paray, this was Moshe Rabbeinu's intro before he came to Paray. He brings this recanti here on the bottom of the Divrei Chaim as well. Also Rishon. Shachodesh Baruch Hu Mahava Mechaya Kol Abriya B'chol Eis Tamid Rebbein Shleilam creates and sustains all of creation always. Here's his words. Ki HaKol Nigza M'sheshes Yimei B'reishes. Everything was decreed during the 6 days of creation. We say it every day. Says the Rikanti. What does that mean? Nothing is removed from you. Since you create, ever since you created heaven and earth, nothing is distant from you. It's not just revealing that which already existed. Rather, it means Hashem is creating it now. V'zeu asher bara Elohim lasai, says the Rikanti. This is the meaning of the words that Hashem created lasais to create. Kiloimar hashlamas habinyan, the fulfillment, the completion, lasais pri b'vayzmana diskalis b'poyel. Lefish ein kol chadash tachas Hashem. This is nothing new. Rak shef abroches habom im karachayim min amayin amavarech kol adwan b'chol zman b'chol grega. It is from the source of life, and from that life-giving mayan is a spring that blesses all things. And Yibamish uses the words here of the Baal Shem HaKadosh. She'ilu haya paisik. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu were to stop sustaining it, lo haya ha'olam miskayim, the world would not endure. V'zeu, this is what we say in davening every day. U'betuvay mechadesh, v'chol yoyim tomid ma'asav reishas. And in His goodness He creates, He renews every day Ma'aseh Bereishis. Pirish Tuvai, Tuvai doesn't mean goodness. Humeshach Habracha. It is the continued drawing down of the sustenance. Shemidas Tuvai, Me'ein Saif, says the Rikanti. This is the attribute of His goodness. Me'ein Saif, B'li Hefsik. Without Hefsik. Then He says here that this is the simple meaning of the animamin. Animamin muna shlema. I believe with complete faith, Shabbari is Baruch Shemayhu Boirei, present tense, Umanig l'chol abruim, all the creations, v'hu levadi osa v'oise v'yasa, l'chol abasim. He is now creating. Lashon Haiveh. So again, why does he quote it? If that's the case, why does he quote it from the Baal Shem Tov? Because that was his, that's who he received it from. There's the Baal Shem Tov was not Mechadesh it, but he emphasized it. So he quotes it in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. But Elam Hashem, Dvorcha Nitzav Bashamayim, this concept that Hashem's word continues to sustain and create is a concept, as we see here, that's brought already in the works of the Rishonim, and that which the Divrei Chaim says is Ikar Emunah. Now, the outcome is something we need to discuss, because the result of 1 plus 1 equals 2 is very scary. That means as follows. If we accept the fact that nothing bad can come forth from heaven, and that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is creating the world each and every moment, and you add those two components together, it doesn't leave us a whole lot of wiggle room for anger and resentment and depression and what's it called? Nekama in English.
Revenge.
And vindictiveness. It's a big word. And all those things diminished with this, because if it's the Rebbeinu Shlomo created it and left it in Mordechai's hands, and now everybody can just do what they want, okay, then I have every reason to say, okay, God is wonderful, but He left it in people's hands and people can destroy and corrupt. But if we say that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is creating it right now, it doesn't leave us with a whole lot of room for that, those type of shenanigans. And that's why the Divrei Chaim is stressing it elsewhere. He says it explicitly, that the result of this emunah is an incredible, that the reason there's such emphasis on it is because true simcha is the result of a person who really embodies and inculcates this emunah into the marrow of their bones. Okay, next week.